Other w- oh, you know what?
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. In your heart, studio, mind, body, soul. I feel like I'm losing control. I'm just messing around with you guys. Such a high vibration, happiness, joy, love, light, abundance, and laughter from our hearts to yours. I'm your host, Davey, here on Dave's Good Vibration Station, LATalkRadio.com. As you know, this is world's most listened to internet talk radio station. We have a very, very special show for you, as we do each and every single Sunday at 1 Pacific Standard Time. That is, I would like to welcome a very special guest to the show. First and foremost, before I do that, I'd like to remind everyone what this show revolves around. As you know, tuning in to Dave's Good Vibration Station, it really is about anything and everything to raise your vibration. Whether you are an author or a musician, channeler, speaker, you just have something to say and you've made an impact in the world, you come on here and you talk about it, you inspire other people, and it's a ripple effect is what we cause here on the Vibration Station, right? That is why I am blessed enough and feel so grateful to have the very, very special guest that I do today with us. I would like to welcome someone very, very special. Mary Reynolds Thompson, first and foremost, before we tell everyone who you are, if they don't already know, welcome to the show. What a blessing. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Davey. It's good to be here.
It's, Mary, what you've written about, what you've talked about, and what kind of impact that you've made has been truly monumental in the genre that you revolve in, that you revolve your writing around, your belief system around. I mean, you've made a very powerful impact, and many people have been feeling this ripple effect. This is why we thought that it would be wonderful to have you here on the Vibration Station. First and foremost, I want to tell you guys a little bit about Mary, and then we're going to tell you exactly what she's done. For those of you that are not familiar already with Mary Reynolds Thompson, you definitely have to check her out. If you're into high vibration, you're into raising your consciousness, you're into really getting in tune with our planet, with the connection between the human spirit, the planet, and the universe, Mary Reynolds Thompson definitely has a grasp on this understanding. Just a little bit about her. Mary Thompson is a facilitator of poetry and journal therapy and a life coach dedicated to bringing forth the wild soul story. Basically, this new story is rooted in our oneness with nature and a vision of a world in which the wild landscapes of both earth and soul can thrive. Born and raised in London, England, today Mary lives in her beloved landscape of Marin County, California, with her husband, Bruce. She is also the author of Embrace Your Inner World, 52 Reflections for an Eccentric World. That's also White Cloud Press, published 2011, as well as numerous articles in spirituality, eco-spirituality, just that whole field. Basically, if you want to raise your vibration, if you want to expand your consciousness, definitely Google Mary Reynolds Thompson. We're also going to want to Google her book, Reclaiming the Wild Soul, which we'll get into in just a moment. In 2008, Mary became a core faculty for the Therapeutic Writing Institute. Basically, if you want to learn more about her work and to receive your special Wild Soul gift, please visit www.reclaimingthewildsoul.com. That's R-E-C-L-A-I-M-I-N-G, thewildsoul.com. Now, Mary, if that wasn't too hefty of an intro for you, we'll just...
I'm cowering in the corner now.
You're so funny. Well, hey, we have to let the people know who you are and how powerful of an impact you've made here on this planet, in your society, in your surroundings. Mary, you're an inspiration to me. I have a plethora of questions to get into. The first and foremost, Reclaiming the Wild Soul, How Earth's Landscapes Restore Us to Wholeness, by Mary Reynolds Thompson. We have her in the studio, her spirit's in the studio, her ear is to the microphone, and we have her in the studio talking about how she has dedicated her life to raising the vibration of this planet through writing this book. First and foremost, my question, what excites you most about your book's topic? Why did you choose it? What's the passion? Where's the excitement? I see all these books on spirituality. I see all these books on helping the planet, but I don't see books on reclaiming the wild soul. I don't see the blending between Mother Earth and the connection of the human spirit. Please go on, Mary. You're an inspiration to me. Let's hear it.
Davey, thank you. Yes, I think that's exactly what excites me. It is that sort of intersection between our inner landscapes and our outer ones, our inner nature and our outer nature. And there's this feeling that I've had very, very strongly all of my life. You know, when I was a little girl, I used to go around to check if things were alive. You know, if my father was sleeping in a chair, if a cat was slumbering in the sunlight, if a plant was on the, you know, in the garden, was it alive? And Joseph Campbell said this really interesting thing. He said, you know, what people want more than anything is the experience of being alive. Wow. And that sort of, you know, when you hear something and it just sort of shoots right into your body, when I heard that phrase, I thought, that's what I care about. Yes. So when we talk about having a wild world, what I'm really interested in is how the aliveness of the natural world is also reflected in our inner aliveness.
Exactly.
So I think it's so important. We can't really be fully alive in an inner world.
Yes.
And what we've done is we sort of thought that nature now doesn't have spirit. It's a sort of great machine that sort of operates, and we can kind of do anything we want to it. But that, to me, is a perspective that's causing huge destruction to the planet. But just as importantly, it's killing the aliveness within us.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. Mary, this is something that I actually have pondered with with my peers, with the people that I share certain groups with that revolve around how we can raise the vibration of not only ourselves but our planet, because there is such a... intertwining. There is such a connection between the human spirit and the planet in which we live on. And I couldn't agree with you more. We have become industrialized. We have come into this age where we see a plot of land and we think of it as, an extra $10 million. You know, we see an opportunity, we see an open space and we think of it as opportunity for, construction or this and that. And I do believe wholeheartedly that there has to be a balance. You know, if you look back when, hundreds of years ago, if you look at our Native American ancestors, right? They built teepees, they live off the land, they there's these shows on, I love Discovery Channel, I love National Geographic, it's like, living in the wild where they go in Alaska and I'm blanking on the name of the show. But basically, long story short, these people, they just live purely off the land. And you would think, oh, these people must have some sort of, schizophrenia or something wrong with them to want to, live outside of society. But they're the most, down to earth, just cool people that you could ever spend some time with. And you watch the shows and they're very knowledgeable, very educated in what it takes to, stay alive in the wilderness and whatnot. But we have come so disconnected from that. And I'll tell you, the one thing that always resonates with me on a very deep level when I watch these shows is the surroundings in which these people live in. I mean, Mary, it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. Mountainscapes. I mean, they really are one with the seasons of the planet, And I feel like that does have a huge effect on the human spirit and the human consciousness. They really are just two in one. Please.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying is so, as where I come from, we'd say spot on. And I think, one thing to remember that way of living really close to the land is actually quite recent. I mean, if we even think about our grandparents or great-grandparents, they were much closer to the land than we were.
Yes.
And, this modern industrial age is really just a blink in the eye. So sometimes we forget that for most of human history, we humans lived in very deep reciprocity with the land.
Yes.
So that our ancient ancestors looked around them, and it wasn't to say that life was easy. I mean, it was brutally hard at times, right? But they never felt that they didn't belong, because they lived in a universe, they had a cosmology, a belief system that had them see that they were part of everything around them, and that everything around them was imbued with spirit and wisdom. So there was a constant sort of call and response between the human soul and the earth. So that's a very, despite the dangers, despite the fact that they didn't have many of our modern comforts, in a way, there was a deeper sense of security than we have today. Because one of the things, and one of the sort of byproducts of living in such a sort of restless, mobile, unrooted society, is that we often wonder, do we belong? Where do we belong?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Our ancestors didn't wonder that. They knew.
Yes.
And we've lost that a little bit. And I'm really knowing in my heart that it's so important that we regather ourselves back into the earth. For our psychology, our spirit, to see children connected to the earth is to see happy kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mary, I read a quote of yours, and it really resonated with me on a deep level. I'm going to share it with our listeners, and I'm sure they're really going to appreciate it, and it'll also paint a picture, a little bit even more of a picture of who you are. So this is a quote by Mary Reynolds Thompson, who we have the pleasure of having live with us here on the Vibration Station. Mary says, "We have become a little too tame, a little too willing to settle for what appears to be safety, rather than entering the wild mystery of life." This book is a clarion to, excuse me, This book is a clarion to call.
No, it's a funny word, isn't it? It's a clarion call.
Thank you.
Yes, a clarion call. It's a funny word.
A clarion call. And I do apologize for that. Sometimes my tongue does get the best of me, Mary. I will tell you.
That's okay.
And that's okay. quite odd being a radio host that my tongue gets the best of me, but it does every now and again. Mary says this. It really does touch my heart. This book is a clarion call to reclaim our wild souls in order to live in oneness with the earth and discover a manner of living that allows us and the planet to thrive. That right there summarizes everything that I, in relationship to my planet, believe in. This sentence right here really, really is the crux of almost, at least what I got of almost why you're writing the book, is you want to reclaim our wild souls in order to live in oneness with the earth and discover a manner of living that allows us and the planet to thrive. That means that when we benefit, the planet benefits. That means we are living in a win-win situation. That means when the planet benefits, we benefit. That doesn't mean that for us to create financial gain, we have to affect our planet in a negative way. Right? That means that we need to create some sort of harmony, some sort of resonance factor between the people and, or should I say, the inhabitants and the inhabitor. Right? So,
well,
Mary.
It does. And I think what's true is that, you know, it's really interesting when you think they've done all these surveys and they've discovered that happiness has not increased since 1956. So we were at the kind of pinnacle in 1956. And yet, since 1956, we in the West have gotten way more stuff, right? We have way more cars, TVs, tech toys, you name it. We've got stuff all over the place.
Exactly.
So what we're really discovering is that more stuff doesn't make us happy. And yet, this kind of way we set up the world is that we're all working harder, doing more, stressing ourselves out to get more stuff. That's not what brings us alive. It's not what makes us happy. Really, relationship makes us happy.
Yes.
You know, relationship with our families, our loved ones, our friends, our communities, and with nature, with places. And
yes.
Really, a primary relationship that we had through, as I say, most of human history, which was this incredible deep relationship with Mother Earth, has been sort of blanked out in our modern day world. So we don't even think about it. So when we get a little less tame, when we really wake up to the fact, oh my goodness, we're not actually even just in relationship with the Earth. We don't live on the Earth. We are made of the Earth.
Yes.
We are really the
yes.
Earth in human form, just like a river or a rainbow or a rock is, you know, the Earth in their particular form.
Yes.
So that's how close our relationship is. We're made of the same minerals, chemistry, everything.
Exactly.
And that is really what fills us up. And can make such a huge difference. And when we're filled up with that, we don't need to go out and consume like crazy to fill this sort of void inside of us.
That is so profoundly psychological. Like, it's so true. It is so deep. It is so real. You know, you've heard the saying before, you know, we're all made of stardust. You've heard people talk about that. I remember elementary school, people would say, you know, oh, well, you're just stardust, you know, and it was like a joke. It was like a big joke.
Right.
Like everything's just stardust, right? And, you know, being 12 years old, you don't really conceptualize what that means. You know, everything is stardust. Everything's made of stars. You just accept it for what it is. And you're like, okay, cool. That's fine.
Right.
As time goes on and you think to yourself, wait a minute, everything is made of stardust. Wait a minute.
Right. The carbons for stars are in our body.
Thank you. And not only in our body, in the very molecular structure that creates this planet. And if the stardust that created this planet is the exact same stardust that exploded, that created our molecular structure, there has to be some sort of energetic unification. There just has to be. There's no question. It's like saying that a child has no genetic relation to his mother. There's no chance for that whatsoever. There's just not.
It doesn't make sense.
Thank you. It just doesn't make sense.
Really, when you think about it, and yet that sense of humans being somehow outside of the system,
yes,
as sort of a little bit separate and superior and different, has really grabbed a hold of us in this modern age.
Right.
And I think that really is the key issue that is at the root of so many of the issues that we're confronting.
Yes.
So to me, this, you know, I talk about, you know, this waking up to the fact that we're part of this vast and stirring oneness. That is a whole different way to wake up in the morning than to think, oh my gosh, I'm alone.
Right.
I feel lonely, which is a very modern condition, really.
Absolutely. I mean,
you know, this is... you know, our ancestors did not feel this modern angst of loneliness because
Right. They
knew they weren't alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
And of course, if you're alone, you have to battle the world to be secure, right? Because it makes sense. If I'm all alone and I'm feeling vulnerable and alienated, then I better have a house that's huge, and I better have all this money, and I better have all this stuff, and I better have a power job and wear power clothes, because otherwise I'm too afraid, I'm too vulnerable. So part of why we're reaching for all this, I don't know, stuff just to make us feel secure is because we don't get that we are part of something so magnificent, so beautiful, so creative.
Yes.
And we're part of it, and we carry all of that within us. You know, we don't need outside stuff
exactly.
to prove that we're worthy.
Exactly.
I mean, we are part of a great evolutionary magnificence. I mean, you know, and we each have our special part to play. It's incredible.
It is absolutely incredible. And each part is perfect in its role, right? Each person, every action inspires another action. We were just talking the ripple effect. Each and every single person and action that person makes is in perfect divine right action, whether we like it or not. And that's kind of the mentality that, you know, imagine this, Mary, if our whole planet adopted that mentality, imagine, you know, the oceans would be alkaline, the waters would be, the energy of the planet would be significantly higher. The vibration, it would just have to be. I mean, I talk about this all the time, is collective energy is probably one of the most powerful and influential forces in this universe. When you have a collective group of people that without a doubt believe and expect for the same result, it takes a lot of energy to make that not happen, you know? So if we were to get at least an eighth or a 16th, a 32nd of the human population to adopt this consciousness that you write about in your book, it really would be our planet would be a whole different planet, right? Reclaiming the Wild Soul, How Earth's Landscapes Restore Us to Wholeness. I just, listeners, just want to let you guys know, you got to check this book out. If you want to go ahead, whitecloudpress.com, you can find... you can contact, right? You can find more, a lot more about the book on whitecloudpress.com, if I'm not mistaken, Mary, is that correct?
And yes, you definitely can. And I did want to correct, actually, the website you want to go to get your free Wild Soul Mandala is actually MaryReynoldsThompson.com, and you'll find lots of information there, too. So White Cloud Press is my publisher,
yes,
and they obviously carry my book, and it would be great if people want to check the book out there. But they can also come visit me on MaryReynoldsThompson.com and find out way more about the book, and specifically about this journey that I take people on, because I think what we're talking about are these really important shifts in consciousness,
absolutely,
right, that we're longing for. And like you so rightly said, that, you know, when you get to that tipping point of enough people sort of moving in a good direction, you know, it's amazing what can happen, and even very, very quickly. But how do we actually shift that consciousness is always a tricky one, right? It's
yes,
like, how does that happen?
Yes.
And one of the ways, you know, as you mentioned that I do poetry therapy, is one of the ways
that
we can really work is through the power of archetype and metaphor. So this book that I've written is really a journey through the landscapes of deserts and forests and oceans and rivers and mountains and grasslands as aspects of our own inner landscapes. And I think it gives people a tremendous opportunity to begin to make real some of the feelings that they may have inside of them. Because if you understand, for example, that one of the things that I think many of us modern people crave is more silence and quiet and time to think, right? A spaciousness that's very hard to find in this modern world, then the desert may be the place that's really calling to you. So it begins through these metaphors and these archetypes of the landscapes, begins to look at what it would take to rewild our souls.
Right.
And we look to the great landscapes of the earth because they know how to do it. They've been doing it for way longer than we've been on the planet.
Wow. That's an amazing point that you just brought up. That's really powerful. It's almost like the earth is our teacher, right? We can take what the earth has taught us and apply it to our own seasonal changes, right?
Absolutely.
So
the
cool.
Earth really is our teacher. And you can study the earth in so many different ways. So you can study it as a biologist or a geologist, all of these different ways of studying it, or as a regular, just, you know, kind of Joe Blow human being that knows that the earth speaks to us in all kinds of ways. So that, for example, what can often happen is you go outside and you notice something. So maybe you notice a tree and it's kind of leaning to one side, but it's particularly beautiful,
right,
even though it seems to be sort of, oh, in some ways maybe even falling to bits a bit. And suddenly you go, oh, well, that's interesting because, you know, there's a bit of me that feels like I'm falling apart in a way.
Wow.
But could I be beautiful anyway? So you begin, as you go around, to realize that you don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be an organic gardener. Wonderful if you are, but you don't have to be. You don't even have to be a tremendous hiker or what you call, quote-unquote, an outdoor person.
Yes.
To begin
yes.
to notice that everywhere you are, nature is, and everywhere nature is, there's a sort of mirroring. The writer, Lawrence Durrell, said something marvelous. He said, each landscape asks the same question.
Wow.
I am watching myself in you. Are you watching yourself in me?
Wow.
And so what that basically says is there's a mirroring process that
yes.
goes on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just like I'm visualizing this and I'm feeling what you're saying, like I'm in awe, you know, like I'm totally like we're connecting, and like when I hear you giving these perfect correlations between our planets, you could call them different planes, in correlation to the human beings' different planes, it really is just way more synchronous than I had ever recognized before, especially when I hear you speak, Mary. You have a very powerful way of getting the message across, and I think that that's why you've been called to write this book. Mary, I want to ask you, I'm going to be selfish. I do know the answer to this question, but I want to ask you because I want the listeners to hear just how much momentum really has gone into this. Mary, how long did it take the book? How long did the book take you from start to finish to complete?
Ouch. It took me almost a decade from start to finish.
That is beautiful to me, though. That's amazing. That's so much experience, so much expansion, so much knowledge and learning. If you wrote, I'm just going to interlude and then I want to hear everything you have to say. If you wrote the book in 1 year, it would not be what it is when you wrote it over a decade. That's your life that you're putting into the book. So please go on. That's all I wanted to say is that it makes it 10 times, no pun intended, 10 times more powerful that it did take a decade to write. I love that.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I think actually if the book, as it was, you know, 5 years ago had come out, I would have been deeply dissatisfied because I had a lot more learning to do. And one of the critical things happened to me, I was blessed about maybe 2-3 years ago now, I'm bad with time, 2-3 years ago, I
you
got to
yes.
go on a writer's retreat, a place called Mesa Refuge, close to where I live in Point Reyes in West Marin, amazing, sacred, gorgeous place.
Beautiful.
And at that time, my landscapes were the same ones that I just mentioned, deserts, forests, oceans and rivers, mountains and grasslands, but I was describing to one of my sister writers who was there that each, you know, chapter had 5 points and each of those points was 3 pages long and blah blah blah, and she's looking at me and she's going five, and I'm like, did she not hear me? Yes, I have these 5 landscapes that each have these 5 points and, you know, they each are about 3 pages long. And she turned to me, she said something so funny, she said, tell me, Mary, she says, does an apple have the same number of qualities as a rhubarb? So I'm like,
wow.
Okay. And suddenly I got it. And she turned to me and she said, Mary, you've been trying to control the wild.
Whoa.
It was like, oh, she just absolutely nailed me. And that next morning I went down to my little writer's cabin, you know, overlooking this estuary, the
yes.
most peaceful, gorgeous place. Oh, it was a blessing to be there. And I actually just prayed. And I just said to the landscapes, I said, I'm so sorry. I have been trying to control you. Will you tell me what you want to be? And, you know, I felt this answer like, at long last, thank you for asking. You know, it was like, we've been waiting for this moment. And so it turned out they didn't want to be all the same length. They didn't want to be, some wanted to be very short chapters and some wanted to be longer. And they had all manner of opinion of what they wanted to be. And so really, so much of that length of time was me discovering and working through my own separation, my own desire to control and dominate. You know, it's like we teach what we need to learn, I have found.
Yes.
And so I got outed, and it was really a gift to me. And after that, the remainder of the book just flowed. Because I was just the conduit at that point. I was just open and listening.
That's so powerful. So essentially, the way that I have this vision in my head is the planet and the human being have a perfect connection, right? We are, when we're born, there is this alignment that is just, it's almost we communicate on a sixth sense. We communicate on a much deeper level. as time goes on, as we get kind of disconnected with an industrialized age, as we focus more upon, you know, the money that we have to make and the bills that we have to pay versus how beautiful the mountains are in our surroundings, we start to shift our thought momentum, shift our direction, right? And then that is kind of what brings us to this disconnection. We can never be fully disconnected, but this illusion of disconnection, if you will. Mary, what it sounds like to me is you were able to literally channel the planet's feelings. You were able to channel your it's like we had talked about before, the planet is our teacher. It's almost like the planet is our, it's the only therapy we need, as long as we open ourselves up to it instead of trying to manipulate it in the fashion that we think is suits best for us.
Yeah, beautifully said, Davey. I concur with everything that you were saying. And I think the beauty is because we are the planet.
Yes.
You know, these landscapes are our ancient ancestors. They gave rise to us. Everybody has that ability. You don't need to know one more thing than you already know. You don't need to be one more thing than you already are. You don't need to be anywhere different than you are.
Exactly.
It's because all of it's inside of you.
Exactly.
So that in itself is such a special thing, because we're always told we need to do something. We need another qualification. We need this or that. You don't need anything.
That is so
true. Like you
true.
Said so beautifully, you just have to kind of tune in and open up.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, Mary, I actually, we've had the phone lines open over the course of the show. I always encourage people to call in if they'd like. Mary, would you like to speak with someone if they choose to call in? Do you want me to open up the phone lines for us? And
absolutely,
yeah.
Love that.
Cool,
love
cool.
To,
let's do that. If you guys would like to call in, we're live here, LA Talk Radio. You're live on the air, Dave's Good Vibration Station. We have a very, very special guest with us, Mary Reynolds Thompson, author of Reclaiming the Wild Soul: How Earth's Landscapes Restore Us to Wholeness. If you would like to call in live on the show, you can do so 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815, and the phone lines have now been open for about a minute. We have a caller on the air. We'd like to take you. You are live on the air with us. Welcome to the Vibration Station. You are live with Mary Reynolds Thompson and your host, Davey. Who are we talking to?
Hi, Davey. Hi, Mary. It's Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. How you doing?
Good. Good. Always love listening to your show, Davey, with your spiritual and just amazing, you know, helpful guests. I'm really loving Mary's information, and I also want to find out how to get a hold of her book, but I also wanted to relate
Perfect.
A story to you guys.
Let's hear
an experience that I had.
Lovely.
So, okay. Last year I went with my family. We always go to this place on the Big Island of Hawaii. And
beautiful.
You know, they stay in the resort. I'm an adult, you know, I'm like 25, and but I, you know, go with my parents, and you know, I take time off to be with my family and my younger brothers and stuff. So they always have
That's
these
great.
Things planned of like, we're going to go to the, you know, this hotel, and they're like Disneyland out there in some parts of the Big Island of Hawaii. I don't know if you've ever been, but
beautiful.
I just really
beautiful
was place. Having some problems in my life, and I wanted to be with the family, but I also wanted to get away. So I went out kind of walking around the town and asked some of the locals where some of the coolest places were, just to see nature and just to get out and kind of find some undiscovered things to do. I just didn't want to go to this hotel and, you know, ride the train and all that with my family. So,
semi-discovered. Semi-discovered.
They were cool. They were okay. No, they just be safe, you know, just go to the beach, be safe. So I ended up going to, not too far from the hotel, but going up into this, you know, rocky area. The Big Island is all volcanic. It's a volcanic, you know, it's like the youngest form of land, I think, on the earth. And so I went up into these caves where these petroglyphs were. And saw these ancient writings, and I just sort of sat down and just looked at these writings and put my hand on the rocks and closed my eyes, and I was there for about an hour just connecting with that, you know, raw, earthy spirit of, you know, the ancestors who used to live there. And it was just, I just had some wonderful therapeutic time for me that I found. And then I asked another man where there was an oasis up there. So I went up and found this beautiful green lagoon. No one was there. And it had petroglyphs and it had caves. I was just... I had such a healing day to where I figured out a lot of my problems. It kind of, you know, I just, the emptiness of, I got to empty my mind and just see that beauty. And that's what was important. And it told me that I had to just know that that was steady. And all these other things in my life, these personal problems and work problems, were not real. And I just have this, like, amazing insight, and I've just, this sounds like what you're talking about in your book. I just had to call and share that. It was great.
Thank you so much for that story, Sarah. You know, that is so beautiful. You know, I think for so many, and it takes courage. I really want to say that, because what I hear as you tell the story is also courage, because sometimes, you know, there's a metaphor there, and you have to turn away from the mainstream, which is like what was going on with your family and the activities, and have the courage to take time for yourself and to heed the call of your own wild soul, which led you on the perfect journey for what you needed in that moment. And so part of that is honoring this, you know, part of this wild soul of ours is listening to that intuition, which you did so beautifully. And so good for you, Sarah. I love that story. I have a series of stories they're called the Wild Soul Stories on my website of different people talking about these moments in nature that we have, and I have a great belief, Davy, that we don't share these stories enough, that the stories like Sarah's.
I agree.
Because we all have them, but we don't know about them. We talk about all this other stuff, and it's like we need to come out of the closet about our own mystical connection to nature.
Yes, it is so true.
I think so, and my family was a little worried, you know.
Right.
I had a cell phone, and they were a little worried. Are you okay? Are you, you know? And I said, I'm having a one. I tried to get them to come with me on the hike through the oasis, but they didn't want to, so I said, okay, for the next day. And I did it the next day.
Wow.
Good. Good for you. Good for you.
Sarah, what a beautiful story. I want to say thank you so much for taking your time. And just like Mary said, it really does take courage, you know, to, you know, when you get in a mindset and you start thinking, oh, I have this to do and this to do and this to do and this to do, especially with today's economy, today's society, and today's demands, it really is one of the most difficult things to do, to make a deliberate decision to put that all aside and take a walk in nature. And just like Mary is inspiring us to do on a daily basis through her book and future books that she will be writing, you know, that is exactly how we find alignment with the wholeness of who we are. That is exactly the path to finding serenity. Just like Mary said right. earlier in the show, our ancestors did not question where we stand in, you know, today's it's yeah. like, you know, you see all these commercials. Well, you need to buy this razor to be up to par. You need to buy this. You need to drive this car to be up to par. And if you drive anything less than that, you're viewed as, you know, poor, whatever, you know, or whatever it might be, whatever the stigma, whatever, you know, the stereotype might be. It really what Mary's doing and what you did, Sarah, are perfectly aligned. It's such courage. Thank you for calling in the show. Sure. Really, all the unconditional love and appreciation from our hearts to yours. Truly.
Well, thanks so much, Davey. And I'll go ahead and hang up, I guess.
But I wanted to tell you
how I can get married.
You were reading my mind. I just wanted to tell you what you're going to want to do, Sarah, is you're going to want to check out MaryReynoldsThompson.com, okay? Also, you can go to Reclaiming the Wild Soul.
No, actually, don't go to ReclaimingTheWildSoul.com. That actually will lead you right to MaryReynoldsThompson.com.
Oh,
but you'll find me there. And, you know, the greatest thing to do is always ask for my book at your local bookstore, because I'm a great believer in independent bookstores.
Yes.
And they'll get it for you. Otherwise, you can find me all over the place at Amazon or buy my book from White Cloud Press, my publishers. So I'm quite easy to find once you've got that Mary Reynolds Thompson down, the rest will come to you. I promise you.
Exactly.
And keep in contact and let me know when you have the book and you read it. Let me know how your wild soul is responding to it.
Please.
I'd love to hear
it. Oh, I love that. Thank you.
I love that. Mary, that is so sweet of you. That is so
sweet. Oh, that is sweet. Thank you.
You really
do. I think I'm going to go to, we have, I don't know if I'm supposed to mention names, but we have a Barnes & Noble here, so I'm going to go over there this afternoon and get it, I think.
Okay.
Well, that's perfect.
All right.
That's perfect.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks, Davey. I love you always. I love listening to you.
Oh, I love you, Sarah. You're the best, and thank you so much. As I said before, all the unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Thank you so much for calling in, and keep that courage rolling, sister. That is powerful stuff. You're awesome.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Okay. Bye.
Mary, you are just affecting people left and right. I got to tell you, it is really, really powerful to have somebody call in, you know, on the air and say how they, you know, have had very similar experiences to exactly what you're writing about. Can I tell you what came to my head, and then I want to pass the mic off to you for the rest of the show, is what you did through Reclaiming the Wild Soul, How Earth's Landscapes Restore Us to Wholeness, is you actually, what I believe, right, is you tapped in to a collective energy where people were asking for someone to bring them the answer to how to do exactly what you write about doing in your book. People have asked, right? I am a big believer in, just we talked before, collective energy, collective consciousness. There was a collective asking from people just like Sarah being one of them, that said, I feel this disconnection and I want a reconnection. How do I do that? All of a sudden, Mary, a decade ago, gets this inspiration to write this book. All of a sudden, here's this book. It's manifested. We got people calling in that are of vibrational alignment to the book. It's just, this is the universe at its greatest. I just love it. And man, this is just so much power. Mary, what aspect of writing this book did you find to be particularly challenging?
Well, I think, I really think it was that letting go that I talked about. But I also believe it's interesting because I felt very humbled by it all. I mean, it's sort of a little grandiose in a way to think you're going to be writing about all these great archetypes.
Yes.
And in a sense, I had to get over that. I had to, and also rely, you know, I talked about that sort of intuition and instinct earlier. I feel like I had
to trust that.
Yes.
Rather than thinking that I was going to know everything, rather than saying to myself, see, Mary, you're not a botanist. See, you're not a scientist. See, you're not those things.
Yes.
I had to say, actually, that doesn't matter. For this purpose, it really doesn't matter. I did read a lot, and I learned a lot about all of these landscapes, but I also had to know that this knowing is actually in all of us. And so I had to let go, really, of all that ego stuff,
wow.
you know, that we can get so caught up in, or I can get caught up in it.
Yes,
and just say,
absolutely.
Trust yourself, because you wouldn't have been called against all odds. You know, it's very inconvenient to want to write a book. It's a deeply inconvenient thing. It puts all other kinds of things in your life on hold.
Yes.
It sometimes annoys your husband. It sometimes annoys your friends. It certainly doesn't lead to the cleanest of houses. You know, it's all those
That's
things. It's
funny.
Really inconvenient. So when one is called to something, you know, I think for all of us, that's a way of saying, you know, that there's a reason for that and to trust that. And even if we think we're not up to it or we don't know everything, is to trust that we have been called.
Absolutely. I think that right there is one of the most difficult things that the human spirit can do, is trust in the idea that we are being called to something, you know?
Right.
Mary, I just have just a couple more questions. I wish that we had more time. I tell you, time flies when you're having fun. And I'll tell you, time does stop when you are in a high vibration, right? According to quantum law. But one last couple things that I did want to ask you, just so the listeners understand, so I understand, so the people that were inspired today by listening to you understand. Number one, what other projects are you currently working on? And sub question to that is, when can we look forward to your next book?
That's always a tricky question. Well, I am working on a couple of different projects. I'm working on turning, I've been doing these wild soul stories that people can find on my website, and that leads me to think that would make a great anthology of writing about hearing exactly the kind of stories that Sarah told today.
Yes.
And then the other thing is, I am being drawn to this work from perhaps more of a woman's perspective as well.
Absolutely.
What is it to be a wild soul woman? And there is something about that is really intriguing to me right now. And it's like so many things, it's a seed. I can't put a timing on it, but it's,
yes.
I can feel the energy around it.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that so much, Mary. I've through the roof inspired with what you have dedicated your life to, what you have dedicated your momentum to, who you are as a person. I mean, I just like, I love you, Mary. I love you. You're awesome. I love you so much.
Oh, Davey, the feeling is mutual. Thank you. It's
thank
been
you.
Just lovely being part of your vibrational field this morning. It really has.
Thank you so much. I really can't tell you how much that means to me. And listeners, I need to remind you one more time. You've got to check out MaryReynoldsThompson.com. That's just MaryReynoldsThompson.com, right? Of course, that's for reclaiming the wild soul, how Earth's landscapes restore us to wholeness. Sarah, I want to thank you so much for pouring your heart out here on the Vibration Station. What a courageous person. Mary, all the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from my heart to yours. Truly, truly, you are amazing. You're an inspiration to all of us. And man, I'm looking forward to your next book. Make sure, ladies and gentlemen, to look out. The new book explores Earth's landscapes as pathways to the wild soul. You guys you can't go wrong with this book. It is just so powerful. Once again, thank you so much each and every single Sunday. Make sure to follow us here on Twitter at Good Vibes Station. Mary Reynolds Thompson, we love you with all of our hearts, and we're definitely looking forward to the next time we can get you here on the Vibration Station. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Davey.
Thank you, Mary. Always love to you. Bye-bye. Thank you, guys. We love you. This is Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com. Always sending you all the love. We'll see you next Sunday.
Watch me nod out, just injected this vibration into the collective. That's what we're about, never neglected. WMDT,